The Zamzos Garden Show is sponsored by Zamzos. The views, opinions, and advice offered by the show's hosts do not necessarily reflect those of KBOI or its parent company, Cumulus Media. KBOI makes no representations as to the accuracy of the information expressed and shall not be responsible or liable for any claims arising out of the use of or reliance upon any such information.
What kind of seeds are you sowing? Why is it so green where you're from? It must be Zamzos growing in your yard, garden, or barn. You've done it right, you see it. Got the help that you needed. Zamzos really makes you want to come home.
I'm coming home,
'cause nobody knows like Zamzos.
News Talk 670 KBOI. It's the Nobody Knows Like Zamzos Garden Show on News Talk 670 KBOI. To be a part of the show, call now 1-800-529-KBOI or 336-3700. It's the Nobody Knows Like Zamzos Garden Show on the Big 670 KBOI.
Good morning, everyone. It is the Zamzos Garden Show. I am your host, Nolan Guthrie. Thanks for tuning in with me today. I have back in studio Gary Yandel from our Middleton store. Gary, thanks for taking the time and coming out and hanging out with me and talking some lawn and garden stuff. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so I'm really glad you're here. We had a great learned so much the last time you were on here. It was such a fantastic show. We really dived deep into a lot of like grapes and raspberry and orchard care, and it was just fantastic. Gary knows a ton of stuff about all that kind of thing, how to take care of that stuff, how to feed it, how to grow it properly, and he's got those answers for you. So if you've got questions about anything like that, we're going to talk about a couple of different things today. But if you've got questions, you've got something that's on your mind you want to discuss with us or get some help with, we are here live. So give us a call at 336-3700 or 1-800-529-KBOI. So, Gary, we started having some really good discussion here before the show started, and I was a little nervous because I felt like we were doing too much good talk before the show started, so we had to rein it in a little bit. But we were just kind of bringing up what's been going on, what's happened out at Middleton, what are you seeing, and the thing that really seems to come up more often than not this year is watering. It just seems like this year more than, I don't know why it's come up more, but watering has been such an issue this year. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to deep dive and really talk about how to water everything.
Yes.
The proper way, the right way to do just about anything in the lawn. So, or the garden or the flower beds or whatever it is you got going on. So we're going to talk about those things. And we're also going to talk about just some of the other general problems. And then also, I've really been kind of hammering this the last few weeks and been thinking about it a lot. But just proper recovery after, particularly for the lawns, proper recovery after getting through this stressful time of the year and how we can make the lawn better this fall as we start cooling off, how we can make it better so that next year we have fewer problems. So we're going to discuss those things, but we have wide open phone lines, so give us a call. So Gary, let's talk, let's get into this watering subject. What are some of the general problems that you are seeing out at the Middleton store and just over the years as a manager with Zamzos?
Well, with concerning water, yeah, we are seeing a lot of lawn samples being brought in of grass that just isn't growing or is turned brown. This can start out as a area of the lawn that's kind of a molt of green and brown or has completely turned brown. Customers are always concerned, well, I've got bill bugs or I've got grubs or I've got some other issue, so they'll bring in a sample.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go through the sample and we can't find anything wrong other than one of the first things I notice is the dirt under the grass is dry.
Yeah.
And, the customers will explain, well, I'm watering, I'm seeing all this water going out there, but, there could be reasons out there why the water is not hitting this particular area. It could be sprinkler inefficiency or not watering long enough.
Yeah. And I think the other important thing to point out there, too, is that sometimes you can be watering as best as you can be, and sometimes it might just be a soil issue as well. And that's not necessarily anything you've done wrong. It's just something to identify. So we, you know, whenever I, you know, would deal with samples or I do lawn calls, I kind of have this like mental list of things that I start running down of these questions that I ask, and watering is always at the top of that list. Yeah. Watering is the most important thing to start with whenever you're trying to diagnose any lawn problem, right, and getting to the bottom of that. And so, and the thing about watering is it's the first thing that you can fix, and it's the cheapest thing you can fix, typically. I mean, barring any major mechanical malfunctions, you know, you can change up the watering very quickly and start recovery right away. So let's so not watering enough, not watering. How about watering too much? How often do you see that happen very much?
I do, actually. I've seen that with the customer who came in. He said he was watering three times a day for 30 minutes. Well, obviously, that's too much, especially since this was in a shaded area.
Yeah, and if you're doing that every day, you've got a swamp at
that
point.
You've got a swamp. It suffocates the grass roots, and yeah, the grass thins out. It starts to die. It's not looking good.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's kind of dissect some of these issues and just kind of talk about, like, in a good general sense, what are some of those things that we want to think about as far as how much should we water a lawn and some of the considerations that go into that?
Well, just like you, Nolan, when I see a grass sample, I question the water first, regardless of what the sample really looks like. And one of the things I want to know is, what kind of sprinkler heads do you have?
Yeah.
Because the different sprinkler heads are going to put out a different rate of water and have a different coverage.
Right.
So your pop-up fan sprinklers are putting out a lot of water in a small area. They don't have to run as long. 30 minutes, 40 minutes may be enough.
Yeah. And so typically that's the sprinkler you're going to see in smaller areas of the lawn. You're going to see it on the sides of the house typically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of times they'll be in the strip. If you have a strip between a sidewalk and the main lawn, that's the type of sprinkler you're going to see there. So they don't pop up very high, maybe 6 inches. And they just put out a fan in a multi-directional. So it could be, usually they're going to be like a 180 or a 90. Rarely are you going to see those at a 360, but they do exist. But usually it's going to be about a 180 or a 90 degree. And it's just like you said, it's a fan. It just covers the entire area right around that spot.
That's right.
And so about 30 to 40 minutes per watering. And then how often would you recommend something like that a week?
The recommendation would be 3 or 4 times a week. Watering only in the morning before it gets hot, and you're actually doing more healthy, you know, for the lawn to actually dry out on those, you know, off days where you're not watering. Let the top of that soil dry out. That's going to force those grass roots to go deep.
Yeah, because there's still going to be water underneath the soil.
Right.
And so the roots, they don't, like, have a brain and seek out the water, but they know where the water is.
That's
they're going to push towards it and keep going down. And that promotes a deeper root system, which gives you more surface area for that grass to feed and water out of.
Yeah.
So
great.
So now let's talk about the other type of sprinkler. I'm trying to think of what you called them. It was
there's different names out
there.
Yeah,
I always called them a gear drive.
They're big gear drives out there. The other name is Rainbird.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are going, ch-ch-ch-ch, you know, that kind
of
deal. These are covering a very large area, 30 to 50 feet in diameter. They're going to take a long time to put down the necessary amount of water. So minimum is going to be 1 hour on those.
Yeah.
Personally, on my lawn, I've worn them for 2 hours.
Yeah. I think it really has to depend on how much area you're covering. Like if it's only going 90 degrees, it's moving faster, right? So it's not going to need as much. If it's going 360, it's going to need a lot more time to cover all that area. There's a really interesting thing, and I can't drive by a field without noticing this, the circular crop fields that have the big long thing that starts in the center and it travels around in a big circle. There's a thing that you'll notice, and I can't not see it now, but the sprinklers closest to the center put out very, very little water. But then if you, the further you go out, they actually put out more water the further away from the center they get. And that's a really good, it's just a good visual representation of that, what's happening there is the outer edge. And it's weird because you think, well, yeah, duh, but it doesn't always compute. It didn't for me for a long time until somebody mentioned this. And I really started looking at it. But the outer ring is so much, it's covering such a large area, it's got to put out more water because it's taking more time and it's got to cover a larger area. So it's a really interesting thing. And that's a great way to, you know, like I said, from now on, anytime you drive by a circular field, you'll look at this and you'll notice.
You'll see it, yeah.
All right. So we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about more lawn and garden watering. If you want to be a part of the show, give us a call at 336-3700 or 1-800-529-KBOI.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzo, and if you live near the foothills and want to learn how to protect your home from wildfire, Zamzos has a free one-hour class this Thursday night, August 3rd at 6 p.m. at Zamzos Chinden Greenhouse. Jerry McAdams of the Boise Fire Department, as well as Brett Van Papigan of FireWise and Terry Stenick of the BLM, will teach you how to prepare your family and home for fire season. First, you'll want to have a building evacuation kit and a designated evacuation route so you know what to do if a wildfire threatens your home. Zamzos is working with FireWise and the BLM to carry plants that are fire safe at all 11 stores. Designing your landscape to create a survivable space is the best defense. All of the moisture we've received in 2017 has created a lot of potential fuel for wildfires. So make sure your home's not part of it by attending our free class this Thursday, August 3rd at 6 p.m. at our Zamzos Chinden Greenhouse.
Nobody knows like Zamzos.
How do you bring the energy back to casual dining? Tap and Cask did it by meshing the warm, inviting environment of a barrel house and the contagious fun energy of a sports bar. Add in delicious handcrafted food, 36 beer taps, and signature drinks. Top it off with Boise's best sports package on 56 big screens, and you've got the perfect recipe. Make Tap and Cask your destination to watch your favorite game or wind down during Tappy Hour with half-price drinks and food in the bar from 4 till 6. Tap and Cask believes food should be simple but great, and the menu combines rustic comfort food with modern flair to make it exceptional. Hand-cut steaks and chops, artisan flatbread pizza, or double-barrel nachos. Simple, but great. That's Tap and Cask, 1555 South Broadway. See the menu at tapandcask.com.
Get your sweet deal from Tap and Cask this Friday at KBOI.com. Look for the sweet deals link and buy a $50 gift certificate for only $25. Go to KBOI.com and grab your sweet deal this Friday from Tap and Cask on Broadway.
Introducing the all-new Jaguar XE. The XE redefines the sports sedan with up to 340 horsepower, lightweight aluminum architecture, and the protection of best-in-class coverage. Lease the all-new 2017 Jaguar XE for $279 per month for 36 months. Yes, $279 a month. With $39.95 down, plus taxes, title, and destination fees due at signing, 1,000 customer credit. Classes sold by luxury automobile brands. Claim is based on total package of warranty, maintenance, and other coverage programs. For complete details, call 1-800-621-1775. Visit Jaguar Boise or Jaguar Boise.
Recreation season is in full swing, and the RV and boat liquidators are back. Now through August 6th at the Village at Meridian, save like never before on a brand new RV or boat. Get exclusive show pricing on a huge selection of travel trailers, fifth wheels, motorhomes, toy haulers, and boats. Don't miss your chance to save thousands when you buy at the show. It's the Great RV and Boat Liquidation, happening now through August 6th at the Village at Meridian. RVandBoatLiquidators.com.
This is tight end Jake Rowe from the Boise State football team.
Throwing it left side and a diving catch by Jake Rowe.
Season tickets and three-game mini plans are currently on sale for the 2017 season. We love our fans who bleed blue, and we need Bronco Nation at every game this season at Albertson Stadium.
Griffin faces a four-man rush, throws it down the middle. Ball caught at the 10-yard line. First down Broncos. Hanging on is Jake Rowe out of Scottsdale.
Boise State football season tickets and mini plans are available now. Purchase yours today at broncosports.com.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Bull & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to bullandbranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. spelled B-O-L-L, and branch.com. That's bowlandbranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
We are the home for the best in national talk. Rush, Savage, and Levin on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back for part two of the Zamzos Garden Show. I'm your host, Nolan Guthrie, and with me today is Gary Yandel from the Middleton Store. Gary, thank you so much for being here. We're talking about watering today, and we're trying to make it as exciting as possible. But watering is so important. It's something that gets overlooked very easily and is something that we want to really focus on today and just in general, because it's something that's very easy for us to fix and something that really goes a long way as far as keeping problems in check. So if you want to be a part of the show, if you have questions about watering anything or really just anything else that might be on your mind, give us a call at 336-3700 or 1-800-529-KBOI. We've got open phone lines, so you'll get right in there and we can answer any of those questions that you might have. So let's get back into some of this watering stuff. So we talked about the different types of sprinklers that we typically see out there and kind of the rough times that we want to water the lawn. The next thing I kind of want to talk about is a lot of people will ask and they'll say, you know, what should I set my sprinklers to? And I think what the general feeling I've typically got is somebody wants me to say, this is what you set your sprinkler at always, and that's what it's going to be for the rest of your life. But there's really no perfect answer for this question.
There isn't.
And it's something that you have to tinker with. Every lawn is different. Every system is different. Water pressure is different. Soil types are always going to be a little different. Layout's always a little different. And so the amount of time and how you set those sprinklers is always going to be just a little bit different from everybody else. I think there are some good general numbers to start with, but that's also going to change based on the time of year and the soil type and the shade or the sun. So what do you generally say is a good place to start on where and like setting that sprinkler time?
Well, like you say, season is going to make a big difference, and soil type is going to make a big difference on that too. The numbers I threw out earlier were based on the season we're in right now.
Yeah,
we're trying
for sure
to get down roughly about 3 inches of water per week.
Right. And let's talk about that real quick. I'm going to segue just a minute, so because you mentioned 3 inches of water. Now, what we a lot of people will say, you know, a lawn needs 1 inch of water to survive in a week. So the way I've typically recommended it is that lawns need 1 inch of water, but if you only put, say, 1 inch of water out over the entire week, you're not getting 1 inch of water.
No.
You're getting a fraction of that because so much of it's lost to evaporation and runoff and various other things that are going on. So I think when you say 3 inches of water, that's an entire amount of 3 inches. Am I right with that?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're saying
over the whole week,
over the entire week, you should be getting out about 3 inches total, which once it kind of breaks down and you account for all those losses, you're about at an inch a week. Roughly. There's probably scientific ways to check that, but who has that kind of time or equipment? But yeah, so I think that's I like your description of that. Like, you're trying to get that much water out in an entire week, because by the time it's all said and done, you're really closer to this other number.
Right.
So let's start with spring season, early season. The sprinklers first come on. What do you usually set your sprinklers to at that time of year?
I honestly kind of run my system at my own home and even at the store manually at that point. Mm. We got so much rain coming in, and you don't always need to be running that sprinkler system.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's say you do. You just want to walk out there, set the timer, and let it go regardless of what happens. Your smaller pop-ups, maybe you're looking at 10 to 15 minutes. The larger gear dries, maybe a half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, in the early spring.
Yeah, and that's...
But you got to be watching it.
I think that's about what I'm doing as well. You know, something right around in there where, like, I've got, you know, an area that's deep, deep shade, big, huge locust tree over it, doesn't get a lick of sun any time of year. And, you know, those, I probably 10 minutes at the most,
because
it just doesn't need anything. And the other area is about 30 minutes. And then, like you said, a manual running, most of those clocks have a manual button. So you just push that once and it'll run the entire cycle. I'm not ashamed to admit my laziness, but I usually set it to like twice a week at those times.
Yes.
And then I just forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, if it rains on the day and I remember to turn it off, I'll go turn it off. But otherwise I tend to let it go.
Yeah.
Just because I figure it's all going to work out.
Well, we all get busy in the spring too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're trying to put in a garden or plant flowers, or, you know, kids are in and out of school or advance or something like that. So yeah. And that's why you buy the underground system with a computer and so forth. You can just set it, walk away and forget about it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, but I'll do that twice a week.
Yeah.
Two times in the middle of the week are, you know, like probably like usually like a Monday or Tuesday and then a Thursday and Friday. And that's all that I'll do for it. Now, as it starts to warm up, I don't necessarily add more days to it right away. I usually bump up the time first. And then it's not until it gets a bit hotter that I add a third day into that system. Now, this is how I've been doing it, and I could go to another lawn and probably find something that works completely differently, but I usually wait for a while until I add a third or fourth day in the week that I'm watering, but I usually raise the time up that I'm watering first.
Right, because everything we're talking about here, we want that water to go deep.
Yeah.
So as the days warm up and get longer, then you're right. Increase the time, maybe not necessarily increase the number of days until we get into, let's say, late June, July, and August.
Yeah.
But, yeah, increase the time so you're still watering that soil deeply to encourage those roots to go deep.
Yeah.
Follow the nutrients that hopefully you're feeding your lawn to. That also drive those nutrients deep.
Yeah. So now one of the really – this is a very common situation that will happen. If somebody gets a new lawn put in, and the sprinkler gets set for them, right? And that's watering 3-4 times a day for 10 minutes.
Right.
And then,
if even that.
Yeah, if even that. And then we come to year 2 or 3, and we find out that it's still being watered that way. So
yes.
What's the inherent – I mean, there's an inherent problem with that. So what are some of those things that we're looking at? I mean, what are the symptoms of something like that as somebody's just let that continue?
I do see this quite a bit, actually. Customer's still watering 3-4 times a day, 5-10 minutes at a time. What that does is it does not encourage those roots to go deep.
Yeah.
And you understand when you put down lawn fertilizers, that's all the deeper that lawn fertilizer is going to.
Mm.
So what that causes on hard clay soil, let's say, it causes thatch.
Mm, interesting.
Now you get that thatch layer because the roots don't go deep. And thatch is mostly made of roots.
Right.
That stay on the surface because...
Yeah.
Roots do not seek water. They go where the water is.
Yeah, it's an interesting distinction, but yeah,
yes.
You would think there's not a difference, but yeah, there's a big difference there. So, you really want to once the grass is established and you're mowing on it regularly, that watering schedule that's set up for that first new seed or new sod really needs to be changed fairly quickly.
Yes,
you want to change it back to a bulk watering every few days, and you have to kind of do it gradually. I had my my neighbor had new sod put in this summer, and he was watering how they said, and then they said at this time cut it back to, I think it was one watering for only 10 minutes. And this was brand new sod, mind you. And we got some hot days on there. And I rolled up home from work, and he was standing out there. And he knows where I work, and he knows that I do this show. And he says, "Hey, are you a lawn expert?" Like, some people think so. I'm still on the fence. But I went out there, and I looked at it, and I said, "You know what? It's not quite time to back that down yet. Let it go for a little bit longer. It's hot. You need some more water out there." But so we just worked through that, and the lawn recovered really well and looks lickety-split right now, way better than my lawn, which we won't get into. So we're watering in the summer, we're going to bump up the times that we water. We're going to eventually increase and add some more days to it. And then as we get into fall, do you change anything as we go into fall? What's your kind of thought process there?
Yes. Here again, as we get into fall, you still want to maintain that deep watering, but maybe the duration can come down.
Mm-hmm.
Still watering every other day until we get in late fall. And then, maybe you're back to the way you we're watering early spring.
Right.
Two times a week is plenty.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if we've got rain and everything's starting to go dormant. You're getting your last feeding out there and all that. Just infrequent watering is best. And I think that's good just as a general rule for a lot of things. So now let's get into a little bit about the different soil types and how that can affect how we're going to water. So we're going to do that. I got really excited. We're going to take that question into the next break here on the Zamzos Garden Show on KBOI.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzo, and right now we're seeing a huge variety of lawn and garden problems at all 11 Zamzos, depending on where you live. In some parts of the valley, lawns are suffering from a form of leaf blight, which is actually a fungus that creates reddish brown spots in your lawn. We're also seeing chlorosis in trees, which causes yellowing of the leaves, tomato and pepper plants that are not producing fruit. And we're also seeing an increase in billbug and grub damage to lawns, as well as chinch bugs, which has really been a problem this year. But not to worry, because if you're looking for a solution to any of these problems, we've got that. And in the case of Zamzos Pepper Popper and Tomato Boom, using products that are found exclusively at Zamzos. So if your lawn or garden has problems with insects or disease, or you need advice on how much to water and when, we've got that. So come see us. Because since 1933, when it comes to helping you grow better,
nobody knows like Zamzos.
I have decided I'm never going to go back to another sporting event. Every time I go, people ask me for money, and they don't even seem friendly when I go there. And not only that, the seats are hard. The coach never even says hi to me. And the referee one time, he made a decision that I could not agree with. And, you know, I always end up sitting with a bunch of hypocrites. And the band is always playing songs that I've never heard, and the games go overtime, and I never get home on time. And my parents took me to way too many games when I was young, and I don't want to take my children because I want them to decide which sport they love the best. I bet you've heard some of those reasons why people don't go to church. Well, listen, it's time to stop the excuses. Boise Church of Christ, 2000 North El Dorado, 2000 North El Dorado, 10:30 every Sunday morning. We'd love to have you with us. Boise Church of Christ. You can find more about us at boisechurch.org. Boise Church of Christ, where church is family.
There's a special kind of love.
Hurry in to Mattress Firm's 72-hour sale this Friday through Sunday, and while supplies last, get a free Yeti cooler or tumbler with select purchases. But hurry, Yeti quantities are limited and only while supplies last. Hampton and Rhodes Pillow Top Queen mattresses for just $209.99. Why wait any longer? Come in today and start sleeping happy on your perfect mattress. Get the new and exclusive Beautyrest Black Memory Foam with black ice, only $42 a month for 6 years, and get a free Yeti cooler. And get the all-new Dream Bed Lux, a one-of-a-kind mattress with memory foam coils and topped with cooling memory foam, and get a free Yeti as well. Hampton and Rhodes plush cooling queen mattresses for only $499.99. Beat the hot summer nights with a free cooling bundle. Get up to 2 free pillows and a free mattress protector at Mattress Firm. You'll find them in Boise, Meridian, and Nampa. Tell them Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton from KBOI sent you. Mattress Firm, save money, sleep happy.
We are a city full of fearless. You can see it every morning along the Greenbelt, every year at the Polar Bear Challenge, and at every big game on our famous blue turf. Because we're a city that began with a sense of freedom and never looked back. And for nearly 70 years, Regents Blue Shield of Idaho has supported that spirit, providing strength and security with the card most accepted by top doctors and specialists. Regents Blue Shield of Idaho. Live fearless.
If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, then the Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Wherever you go, you don't have to go unprepared. With countless cargo configurations, you'll have ample room for whatever supplies and equipment you might need. Lease the Discovery Sport SE for $399 per month for 36 months. Yes, $399 a month. With $2301 plus taxes, title, and fees due at signing, call 1-800-621-1775 or visit Land Rover Boise or LandRoverBoise.com for details. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
All right, here we are. It's part three of the Zamzos Garden Show. I am your host, Nolan Guthrie. With me today is Gary Yandel from our Middleton store. And we are talking about watering all things, mostly lawn watering is, it's a big subject. I'm finding that there's a lot of stuff to cover, and we've covered quite a bit of stuff here already today. So if you've got questions about lawn watering or really anything else, we have wide open phone lines. You'll get right in. Give us a call at 336-3700 or 1-800-529-KBOY. So before I was so rudely interrupted with a break, we were going to talk about some of the soil types and the considerations that we should take into account when we're planning our watering schedule and how we're going to do that. So most of our area around here, at least in my experience, is a lot of clay. I have not done much out in Middleton as far as like looking at samples or doing long calls, but does it tend to be kind of clay out there as well?
It depends on where you're at there in Middleton. If you're over more north of the river, it's a lot of clay.
Yeah.
If you're more towards the river, it's a lot of sand.
Yeah. And that's kind of what it's like more like Eagle and State Street, but then more like on the other side of the freeway, or really just about anything up the road there from Water Tower south, I guess. It seems to be fairly clay.
Yeah, a lot of clay there too. Yeah.
So when we've got a hard clay soil, how are we going to change anything we do about our watering? What are their considerations here?
Yeah, the customer's going to have to watch that carefully. You know, the water recommendations we made earlier may not work for clay soil.
Yeah.
You mentioned that, you know, you can put all the water you want to on a clay soil, but it just runs off. So you end up, most of your watering effort runs down the gutter.
Yeah. Yeah, or yeah, it just doesn't penetrate and evaporates.
Yeah,
so that's where I think when we get back into that subject, what we really want to talk about is making sure that we do everything we can to improve the soil.
Yes.
Get it looser, get it, you know, get those things in there that are going to help loosen the soil so the water can penetrate and be better at watering our plants. So we've got a phone call, and so let's go ahead and take that. Let's talk to Richard in Meridian. Richard, how's it going? How can we help you today?
Just great. Hey, in my backyard, I've got just one little area that is just soaked with water all the time. And I've cut the water, you know, the sprinklers off and everything else, and it's still just almost like a swamp. I can't even cut the grass or anything back there. I'm just wondering, you know, if I, you know, what kind of problem I might have. I've got a pond, but I know the pond's not leaking. I mean, it's holding water and everything else.
Yeah. So is this area near neighbors?
Yeah. I got a small yard in the back, and it's you know, it's all fenced in. And I actually have like one, two, three, four neighbors along my fence line.
Okay. So that's one consideration, is that, you know, we don't know, and you might not know how they're watering. And it could be that you've got a low spot and their watering is contributing to that, where it's, well, it's tends, this is the area where that water is kind of draining too.
Right.
And so that's why you're getting a consistently wet area regardless of what you're doing. Does that fit? Would that make sense in your lawn?
Well, yeah, I want to say it could be, but part of it is that, you know, I've got a row of trees next to the fence. And that area is always dry, you know, they're doing good. The trees are doing good.
Yeah.
But then when it slopes down, well, I guess you can say, slopes down to the grass area, that's where the sogginess, the water is there. And it's only in one kind of spot.
Yeah.
About 4 feet long, maybe 5 feet long.
Yeah. And have you been there for a while? This has been something it's not like a new this year thing.
It happened last year, but not as bad. And we've lived there for now 2 years.
Okay. What do you think, Gary?
I'm wondering if he's got a situation just as we were talking about. He's got clay soil, and his sprinkler is running, you know, in the rest of the lawn, but it's draining towards this low area because it's not going, you know, vertical, going down.
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple solutions, and it's tough to say for sure without seeing. Like, I'm pretty sure if I were there, I could say, oh yeah, here's what is probably happening. But there's a few considerations I think we can probably bring up. you know, one, you've got to water what you have to water to keep your lawn alive. So that's one thing. As long as everything else is doing fine, then you're in good shape there. There's a few things we can do, improving the soil, which we're going to talk about a bit more as we go into this segment. Is one thing. We have a really good product called Pennaturf, and I have used Pennaturf in areas that are excessively soggy. When I was running the Eagle store, we had a big area that would just hold water for ever. Like, I don't think it ever dried out. But I started using Pennaturf on it, and that helped quite a bit. It didn't eliminate it completely, but it did help the water get down out of that soil and dry out quite a bit. The other consideration, and this is a little more drastic, would probably be looking at something what they call a French drain or a drain tile. And this is quite a process, because you're going to end up trenching basically a row in your lawn or somewhere, trying to basically channel the water away. So you would, if this is the lower area, because this is where, I mean, this is soggy, so water's collecting here, you would probably have to run it up from that through the lawn to some other point, and then it's, you use a big corrugated tube and you got to backfill it. It's quite an ordeal. But something like that can help channel the water in different directions and help it get spread out a little bit more. Do you have any other ideas there, Gary?
Well, as far as this water all, you know, running down in this area, you might want to go ahead and just check the other areas in your lawn. See if you're getting good water penetration. And if you are, let's say you're you know, wet well down to 6 to 8 inches, you can check that with a shovel. And maybe you can back that water off a little bit so it's not draining down to this low spot.
Yeah. It might be that. Yeah, I think I see what you're saying, is that maybe, you know, you're watering, it's not necessarily excessive, but you may be able to take even more off. So might be another consideration.
It's something to think about, yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, but keep listening, because we're going to get into that kind of the changing up the soil stuff here in a bit. Did you have any other questions there, Richard?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for all. I appreciate the call. So let's talk about this. How are we going to improve the soil? Let's start with a clay soil. What are some of the best things we can do to improve that drainage, that overall, ability for the lawn to let that water go further vertical, as you said?
Yeah. Clay soil is of such a small particulate that water doesn't go through it. So what we got to do is change the structure of the soil. One way to do that is get some organics in there.
Yeah.
That would be compost, of course. But, you know, your lawn's already down, so we're not going to till in compost at this point. So in the fall, highly recommended that you do aeration.
Yeah.
Now, it has to be core aeration, not just punching holes in the soil.
Right.
That actually increases your compaction.
Yeah. And you're talking about a spike, right? If you were like, I think you typically you see that in like the boots that you'll buy, the aerating shoes that you strap on. It's just a spike. That doesn't improve aeration.
That
it's
does
a
not.
Core aerator, it pulls up the plugs.
It pulls up a plug. Yeah, you get plugs out in your lawn. But if you do it in the fall, when you're done mowing, just leave the plugs there.
Yeah, and that's typically what I do. And that's a great time to do. You can do a top dressing on top of that.
That's right.
I love doing that. And I typically feel like if you don't do a top dressing, you're kind of wasting your time with an aeration.
Do the whole process. Yeah.
Because if you just aerate it, what's going to happen is everything's going to settle back down, and you have the exact same soil you had before.
Right.
So put something down, get the compost down there, gypsum, an extra application of human green at the least to do something to help improve that soil structure and break up that clay so the water can drain down better. And you'll see it, you'll start to see results from that even just with one go. If you've got a problem, you're probably going to want to do it over the next, I would say, 3 years.
It may take a while. Yeah.
It can take a while. It's going to take a process. You're going to have to do it multiple times. So that's the first steps to really improving the soil. So we're going to take a quick break and come back for one more segment. We still have wide open phone lines. So if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call at 336-3700 or 1-800-529-KBOI.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Callie Zamzo, and you might think that just because my dad is Jim Zamzo, the Valley's lawn, garden, and pet expert, that I have a perfect lawn, and I usually do. But being a busy mom who works full-time, I'm subject to the same time limitations as everyone else, and sometimes forget to do something. What I do then is to take in a 12-inch turf sample to my nearest Zamzos, showing where the good lawn turns to bad. Not only do they tell me what's going on with my lawn, but also how to speed up its recovery by applying Zamzo's Thrive. According to Dad, Thrive restores depleted nutrients to the soil and greens up brown spots fast. Of course, if my lawn did have fungus, bill bugs, or chinch bugs, they would have caught that too and suggested a cure. They also reminded me to raise the height of my lawnmower and bump up my water schedule to 3 times a week. Dad says this excessive heat is hard on everything, but you can't go wrong applying Thrive anywhere you see stress in your lawn and garden. And to all the hardworking moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas of the Treasure Valley, have a great summer from all of us at Zamzo's.
Joe Prin here from the Home Fix Show. Let's face it, folks, we all want to live comfortably in our home for as long as possible. We worked a lifetime to earn the freedom to enjoy retirement at home, and now it's time to make decisions to allow this. Visit Custom Bath Solutions showroom in Meridian, and you'll see showers and bathtubs designed for safety, beauty, and easy access. The staff at Custom Bath Solutions has years of experience with universal design and aging in place, two design concepts that allow you to live in your home well into your grandparenting life. You'll be surprised at the product selections that they have for you to explore, and all products are made in Caldwell by Best Bath. Go to Custom Bath Solutions at 480 East Franklin Road in Meridian, or call them at 888-7561 for information about how to modify your home for a lifetime of enjoyment.
Shower yourself with comfort. Custom Bath Solutions.
It doesn't take long for a small spark to become a major wildfire. The Idaho Bureau of Land Management reminds you that over 70% of the wildfires in the Treasure Valley are human-caused. The main human cause is from vehicles and equipment. Check your tow chains to make sure they are not dragging, and keep up maintenance on your vehicle and trailers. If you need to pull off a highway, avoid dry grass. The second leading source of human-caused wildfires involves target shooting. Target shoot only in areas void of vegetation. If you start a fire, you could be paying the bill for putting it out and restoring the land. So think twice before shooting when it's hot, dry, and windy. In dry conditions, remember to carry a fire extinguisher and a shovel. Also check for fire restrictions before heading out. Currently, the fire prevention order prohibits the use of tracer and steel core ammunition, exploding targets, and discharging or possessing fireworks on public lands between May 10th and October 20th every year. The BLM urges everyone to take extra precaution this summer to prevent wildfires. For more information on wildfire prevention, fire restrictions, and general fire information, check out IdahoFireInfo.com.
Dennis Dillon No Risk Certified Used Cars give you more than the competition, with full lifetime warranties on every certified no risk vehicle. That's right, full forever warranty. Sound too good to be true? It's not. At Dennis Dillon, we certify every vehicle and back it up with our money back guarantee. It's simple. If you don't like it, just bring it back for a full refund or exchange. Dennis Dillon No Risk Certified Used, with forever warranty coverage and full money back guarantee. Choose from hundreds of used ready now at any Dennis Dillon location. Family owned and operated for over 43 years.
Boise and Nampa, it's a great time to save on glasses. For a limited time at iMart Express, get 50% off your entire purchase of two or more complete pairs. Choose from over 2,000 frames, and you can wear your glasses today. iMart Express, right glasses, right price, right now.
If you have an opinion, we want to hear it. Paul J. and Chris in the morning. Nate on the drive home. We are 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back for one more segment of the Zamzo's Garden Show. I am your host, Nolan Guthrie. With me today is the very, very intelligent Gary Yandel from the Middleton store. Just own it, Gary.
Thank you.
You're a smart dude, and I really appreciate you being on here. I learned so much the last time. I'm learning so much again. This is a great conversation and a really important one, and I'm glad we're getting this word out there. Looks like we're getting some phone calls, so we're going to go ahead and take those. So let's get to Keith in Eagle. Keith, how's it going? How can we help you today?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
So this year we seem to have a little bit more mosquitoes than normal. And I was just curious, besides citronella, marigold, and lavender, what other kind of blossoming plants or blooming plants would repel mosquitoes?
Can you think of other plants that repel mosquitoes? I think there's a geranium that will.
There's a geranium, lemongrass, and yeah, the other
lemongrass. Plants, okay.
Yeah, lemongrass is another one.
I'm trying to remember what that geranium is. It's a very.
I've heard it as citronella geranium. But yeah. I'm sure that's wrong.
I there's another name for it, but it's a geranium. It smells very lemony, but it's it grows kind of like, it's not quite as big as like the really floral geraniums. It's a bit smaller, but it is. I think it is in the pelargonium variety or family, which is the more typical like geranium. We think there's two different geraniums, and it gets confusing, at least in the botany world or the horticultural world. But the geraniums we buy in the big hanging baskets, those are actually pelargoniums or pelargoniums or something like that. And but this one is more in that. And we've had them at the stores. I don't know about the availability, but that's about the only, that and the lemongrass, the only ones I can think of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And do you guys sell any kind of tablets at the store or anything that you can, that a homeowner can drop in standing water?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yeah. What are the? We've got a couple of different ones. I'm not sure what we have now, Gary. Do you?
Well, the one I've got at the Middleton store is actually just an active bacteria. It's completely safe for kids and pets and birds and aquatic life and anything like that. But it's lethal to mosquito larvae.
Yeah. So that's a good one. There's a couple of different ones we have in the store. So, and you're an Eagle, so they'll certainly have it over at the Eagle store.
Okay.
All
awesome.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Keith. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Okay, so we've got another call. We've got Jim in Marsing. Jim, how's it going? How can we help you today?
Hey, green beans, guys. I've had real good luck with green beans for a lot of years with early contenders, okay?
That's the variety?
Yes.
Last year, I had a lot of problems with them. They came up and got the third or fourth leaf stage, and then about half of them died. Mm. Okay. I assumed that was probably just a one-year thing. This year, they did quite a bit better.
Yeah.
I'm changing areas of the garden all the time. I don't plant them in the same place. What window is usually the best time around here to plant green beans, and what other varieties work pretty well around here?
I am going to completely defer to Gary on this one because green beans are not one that I have ever been successful with. I have tried so many years. I just it's a personal deficiency in my life that I can't grow green
beans. Well, I'll tell you, I have had... years ago, I used to plant a Blue Lake pole bean that really did well for a couple of years. And now the Blue Lake pole bean or the Blue Lake bush bean, most years I get almost zero sprouting.
Hmm.
Okay.
So that's, and the contenders come right up and planted at the same time. So. I'm kind of, I need something else, you know.
Beans like a rich organic soil. So I highly recommend every year you're applying some compost to your soil or something like that. Beans also like the soil to be warm. So it's not even a good idea to even try to plant beans until after you planted your tomatoes. Well, that might be not a good barometer because some people plant tomatoes in March. What I'm saying is mid-May.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Do you know
that's usually about, I don't even think about it till about the 15th to the 20th of May.
There you go. That should be ideal soil temperature. Yeah.
Right. And then sometimes it's 1st of June even, depending on what the weather is.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. This year would have been fine at 1st of June. Yeah.
Right. And then sometimes I'll plant them even after peas sometimes, if the weather's right.
Yeah. Have you ever tested your soil?
No, I don't do tests on it.
Okay. Year after year after year of using this garden soil, even though you're rotating your crops, it's a good idea to test your soil because things do drift.
So let's talk about that test a little bit, because you're not talking about digging up soil and sending it to a lab necessarily, are you?
Not necessary, unless you're that professional gardener that wants to sell your produce or something like that. There's a very simple test. Yes, it's a ballpark, but at least it gives you an idea how much nitrogen, phosphate, potassium is left in the soil, and what's the pH of your soil.
Yeah, so these are really basic, simple to do, costs a couple bucks, but it gives you a good, and it's like Gary said, it's a good thing to do just every now and then. It's not something you got to tinker with constantly. It's one of those things, if you do too much, you're going to try to do too much.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to try to change it constantly, but doing it once every few years just gives you an idea. And you kind of keep that data stored somewhere and just kind of see if there's any kind of pattern to it, you know.
Right.
But yeah, that can give you a good idea. Maybe there's just something maybe just slightly lacking there.
Yeah. You could have a nutrient drift.
You know, all other crops I have no problems with at all. Everything else is just working fine.
Well, the beans are looking for something that's not there.
Okay.
And that's where I'm going with this. Maybe a soil test, like Nolan said, real cheap. $4 test.
Yeah, it takes
5 minutes.
And
really easy to do.
So that's definitely a way to go, a direction. Yeah. There are certainly some other things that could be going on, but it's tough to say. Because you're getting some success, it sounds like there's something, they're getting to a point, and then they're kind of dropping off. So I think that's probably a good recommendation on Gary's part there, to just get an idea where that's at, and it might just show that there's something missing. So thanks for that call, Jim. We are on a hard break here, so I'm going to have to let you go. But feel free to get in contact with Gary out at the Middleton store, or, your nearest Zamzo store. You're out in Marsing, so I don't know what the closest store would be to Marsing. But thanks for being here, Gary. I appreciate it so much. Great conversation. Lots of good stuff to talk about. I appreciate you being on here with us again. All right, we are done for this week, and appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.